In your bulletin this morning, you'll see a celebration of Ed Antrus's life, a tribute written by Nancy Durham. And well done, Nancy. There's probably much more we could write about his life and his contributions and inspiration to the church and his community, family, and his service to his country and in all aspects of life. So read that, and you'll know a little bit more about Ed. Yeah, he's going to be missed. And God bless you, Vicki, Eric, and Annie. Prayers will be with you continually. Sorry there's not a outline in the bulletin today. Things kind of shifted, changed a little bit. Wasn't able to get that to Carol in time, so sorry about that. First time I hadn't had an outline ready, but okay. But we'll get through there. You can look at it on the screen this morning, and if you've got a pencil and paper or a piece that you can write on. Some of the things I'm going to be sharing with you are very important, talking about the power and understanding of grace. Each day, I'm beginning to understand and see the power of God through grace. Amen? Because of faith in Him, we can see that as a Christian. If you know, unbelievers, they don't even recognize or comprehend the grace of God. But when we are one of His, and we have the Holy Spirit within our heart, and we're doing our best to live out each day in the newness of life, and in the understanding and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as 2 Peter 3:18 says, then we better understand what Paul and a lot of the other writers in the New Testament and the Old Testament mean when they say the grace of God. By the grace of God, that is why you and I are here right now. And through all the circumstances and situations in life and hardships that we go through, it is the grace of God that we can just praise Him and thank Him for His unconditional love in our lives. So, as we look at the introduction to this passage of Scripture this morning, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15, we see that Paul talks about different things. He talks about the duties of the older and the younger, but then he moves in verse 11 to the grace of God. And when we think about the grace of God, you know, whether we recognize it or even think about it, we are living by grace each day in our life. And we should say, Lord, thank you, not only for your grace, but for your mercy, because we don't deserve either one. But He sees fit that we receive that. So, with that, why should the Christian pursue this respectable and dignified life? Why should we? Well, because the grace of God is a reason why every member of God's forever family can and should live the Christian or the sanctified life. Sanctified, again, to clarify that those sometimes churchy words, sanctified means to be set apart. When we become a member of the Lord Jesus Christ, His kingdom, a Christian, Christ-like, and He sets us apart from the rest of the world. We're different because we take on the likeness of Christ, that we live, take on that living in the newness of life serious. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, if we be in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, you've heard me quote that scripture a lot. And I think about that scripture a lot because we, you know, the old things in our life have been forgiven. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to sin again, but that means that we are forgiven of our sins, past, present, future. And we are to walk in the newness of life according to Romans chapter 6, verse 4. So as we look at these scriptures this morning, I want us to really pay attention to, well, what Paul is saying. He wrote Titus. And so Christ's grace, it's a gift. It's a gift. Just like Proverbs says that children are a gift from God. So God provides a lot of gifts in our lives. A gift to serve. A gift to receive. I mean, gifts over and over. Abundance of life. So God's grace of gift of himself, you know, is a gift. And it, this impels us to live a life dedicated totally to him. So in our passage here in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 17, as we look at this, we find the actions that one takes when he is striving to give himself to Christ as God requires each one of us in his word. Now, by grace, that is the believers through salvation. Romans 10:17 says, you know, that we are saved by grace. And we are given that grace through Jesus Christ as he died on the cross. And I kind of paraphrase that, but that's what that means. So by grace, that is the believer through his salvation, every man can purify and adore himself or herself as God requires us to. Now, so looking at the power of God's grace, the power to live as a Christian comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit living within our lives. Now, each day, the Holy Spirit will remind us of the things that we need to be doing, okay? And the Holy Spirit will also remind us if we do something that we shouldn't be doing. And that's when we are to make it right. We are to stop right there in our tracks and say, Lord, you know, I know this is right, but I didn't make it right. So right now I'm making it right with you because I don't want to break my relationship with you. So I'm making it right. So that's what the Holy Spirit responsibility, part of the responsibility is, to keep us on track with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, because Christ died and rescued us from sin, we are free from sin's control. Okay? We understand that, right? Because Jesus Christ saved us, provided salvation, we are free from sin's control. Sin has, and Satan has no control over us, only what we allow him to implement into our lives that are temptations and we give into them. So we don't want to do that. So the old things have passed and new things have come. So the new things have come are much better in Christ than the old nature that we once had. And by the way, you don't get rid of that old nature. It hangs out with you. You know, it's with you all the time. But your sins have been forgiven, past, present, future. But Satan is still around and he still tempts Christians just like more so than he does the unsaved because he already has them. But those who are saved, and the closer you try to live with God, Jesus Christ, the harder Satan will work on you to discourage you, to distract you, to try to take your mind off from living a Christian life. So God graciously gives us the power and understanding to live according to His will and to do good. Okay? In our life, we are to do good. We are to do our best to do good. So now, when we do, we look forward to Christ's wonderful return. And it will eagerly, and we should be looking for it eagerly with expectation, right? We should. Because one of these days He will return. Maybe not in our lifetime, but at some point in time He will. But either way, you know, we're homeward bound as a Christian. So now, that's the introduction. Let's look at number one, A part, the grace of God. Verse 11. See, God's entire process of redemption is rooted in grace. It's rooted in grace. And you see, the Lord is always working in our behalf. So in verse 1, it proclaims why we develop disciples just as described I didn't read verse 10, but if you go back and verse 10, in paraphrasing, but showing all good faith so that you will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. That's verse 10. I meant to read that a while ago, but I just did. And so verse 1 proclaims why we develop discipleship just described. Okay? So now, in verse 11 here, it says, "For grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." That doesn't mean that all men are saved or have been saved or will be saved, but the potential of the salvation has been brought and appeared through Jesus Christ when He walked upon this earth, and now that the Holy Spirit here on this earth still doing the work of the Savior, because Jesus said, "I'm going back to the Father and I will send the Holy Spirit and He will teach you all things that we have done." So Paul, he had an exploring and affirmation that godly living is demanded by God's truth right here in front of us. Now, he changed his focus to explore that central aspect of God's truth, which demands godly living, and that godly living means grace. Grace. So, when you look at the word grace, the Greek word for that would be gar, G-A-R, gar. And that gar means oath. It's an oath that Paul was thinking about here. It suggests that here is what I would call it a theological foundation for what the Apostle Paul has just written. This is an oath. I mean, it's a covenant. It's a promise from God. Through grace, you know, we have faith and we have salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, right here, well, in verses 11, 12, and 13, Paul gives us three tenses of the Christian life. And you need to get these down. These are very important, and they're in these verses. So you might want to mark verse 11, verse 12, verse 13. But he gives us three tenses of the Christian life. First of all, he's talking about in verse 11, the past, okay? Past, present, future. So in verse 11, it's It's the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Okay, that's past. That's back when Jesus came to this earth. He was born as a baby, grew up as a man, the Son of God, the divine, and yet also he had the physical aspects that we have as well. But yet he was without sin. And he provided that salvation for us. So that's the grace of God that brings salvation to all men. And then we see the present. The present means he's teaching us. That's in verse 12. He's teaching us through his word. Jesus taught the disciples the importance of living and following Christ Jesus, walking in his footsteps, doing the things that are good that it spoke about earlier. And as we do that in our lives, see, we want to not only do good to those in the Christian faith, but we want to do good to all people who doesn't know Christ Jesus as their Savior, that they may understand the grace of God that we've already received. See, God give us the grace, we received it, we accepted it, and now we're living at that grace, and it's the grace of God that Christ who has given it. So the past is the grace of God, and then teaching us in verse 12, and then the future tense is looking for that blessed hope. That's in verse 13. So looking for that blessed hope. We're all looking for that, right? We are looking for it. I'm looking for it, and I know you are too. And it's our hope now, but it's our future hope, and that we keep persevering in this life. We don't quit. We keep on pressing on in our life. So in other words, what this is meaning, God's grace not only what I would call redeems us, but it also reforms us, and in the end, in the eternal end, it rewards us. And it rewards us right now as well, because we get the benefits of, as we live for Christ, of the precious promises that he gives in his word for us to live out here now as we live out our salvation, as we work towards our working out our salvation each day. And that's working in the grace and within the limits of what God has given us as Christians. So Paul has got some interesting things right here for each one of us on grace. It's really, really neat. So and not only that, but it instructing in verse 12, instructing, and that's in the Greek, is the word training or discipline. So he trains us, and then he disciplines us. He shows us the right way. And if we don't go the right way, then we understand, okay, I'm getting a little discipline here so that I will understand the teachings that the Lord wants me to understand, so I will know the power and understand the grace of God. And it's always sufficient. In Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about that when we pray, and God will meet our weaknesses, our infirmities, and it's always at the right time. Always at the right time. And I promise you, it is always at the right time when we need it. So, and when you know it, you recognize it, you see it, you say, Lord, thank you for your grace. Now, according to the Bible, right here, we live in the age of grace. We are right now living in the age of grace. Paul was living in the age of grace. We're still living in the age of grace right now as I speak. So God is withholding his judgment right now. So this world's not, well, we might think, well, we're experiencing judgment in our life, but not God's judgment. And God will be gracious in his judgment one of these days in the end, as we all will be answered according to our rewards that we'll be getting, and lost people according to their sins. So we, as we see this, because he doesn't want anyone to perish. That's what it, John 3:17 says, I didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but I came that all men may be saved. It's not that I want anyone to perish. And that's Jesus speaking that himself. So when we look at that, we know that God always has a plan for us. Now, but one day, the period of grace will suddenly be over, and it will be time to pay the fine. For the wages of sin is death. But for the believer, the grace that he provided for each one of us secures us for a heavenly home. Now, when we fully understand this, when we fully understand that the gospel of grace, of God's grace, teaches the Christians how we are to live. The grace of God teaches us that. And when we see it and recognize it, we'll better understand it as well. Now, let's look at the second part of this, which Paul is talking about in verses 12 through 14 about the instructions of grace. See, not only do we have the grace of God, but he doesn't want anything hidden. The Son of God, or the Heavenly Father, doesn't have any hidden agendas. They always instruct so that we will know what God is thinking, what the Son is thinking, what the Holy Spirit is going to be doing in our lives. So we're familiar with what I would call grace, which saves, but grace does much more. It does. It trains us. It teaches us. And sometimes people say, well, I would try to do this, or I would try to do that, but that try don't always get it done, does it? We have to be trained. And whether we're training ourselves or being trained or instructed, as Paul is saying right here, it helps us to better understand that we are to live out our life according to God's will. So it trains us to what I would call live now in a wise and right way. We want to be wise in our decisions. We want to be wise in the way we approach each day and living out the newness of life in our life. And it also teaches us the right way. God's not going to teach you the wrong way, but he will remind you if it is the wrong way. But he will teach you the right way to live. Now, something tells me that we need to do is, in verse 12, it teaches the operation of grace in lives of those who have received it. And I call that grace, Jesus, salvation. Grace, Jesus, salvation. That's the three words that I classify this as I look at verse 12. Because verse 12 says, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So in this present age, I mean, that's what we are to be working towards. So The grace of salvation instructs and it trains. So you, anytime you think about that word grace, just implant it in your mind. And that's what I try to do. Something that really stands out to me, and it means something to me, and it speaks to me, I try to implant it in my mind, just like this word grace, because the grace of salvation, it instructs and it trains us in the right ways to follow God. And grace, too, gently leads and it guides us down the straight and narrow path towards God. So grace instructs by teaching, disciplining, counseling, encouraging, admonishing, guiding, convicting, rewarding, and I would say restraining. When restraining means abstain from anything that appears to be evil. So grace is going to lead you in the right way. Grace will lead you to the fruit of the Spirit, listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 23. See, that's how God's Holy Spirit works in our life. It leads us, as we learn the Scripture and as we have it implanted in our hearts, then it always comes at the right time of some situation or something, temptation or something, to remind us, because it's instructing us, because we have been trained in God's Word. We have learned God's Word by reading and studying it. So at the right time, grace shows up. That's what Hebrews chapter 4 means. Grace shows up always at the right time, and the mercy along with it. So now, in verse 13, it discloses those being trained by God by looking forward to the coming of Jesus. Now, verse 13, it says, yes, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope. There it is. Looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. See, Paul, he didn't leave anything out there. He mentioned Jesus' name, you know, Lord Jesus Christ, Savior, Lamb of God, because it's important we understand the grace is through Jesus Christ. And all of those names mean something specifically, and it all leads towards grace. So the grace of God instructs us so that we may be live concentrated lives while looking for, as this verse says, what? That blessed hope. The blessed hope. We're looking forward to it. We look for a lot of things in life. We're always looking for something that's good, something that's encouraging, something that's motivating, something that inspires us. And this should inspire us to look for that blessed hope to that day of Jesus coming again. And see, that's what sustains us in this life. If Christians don't have hope, we don't have anything. You know, the Word of God will not turn anything void. The Word of God is not void in any way. So it gives us our hope. So we are looking for Jesus' return, and the Christian only hope is glory, looking for Jesus' return. Now, Christians have lived 20 centuries with the hope that they will witness the glorious return of Christ. 20 centuries. You think about that. Now we're in the 21st century, right? But when we think about that, the hope that we will witness the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. Now, in verse 14, getting closer to the end here. Sorry. Following our God and Savior in Jesus Christ, in verse 13, leads to this outworking of God's grace back in verse 11. Now, this purpose, because of Christ's death, was what I would call an offering. It was a sacrifice that made us for those who could not make it themselves. There's no way that we could pay the penalty of our sins for ourselves or anyone else. That's why Jesus paid it once and for all. There would never be another sin sacrifice for the world. So he gave himself for us, means that he acted as our representation and our substitute. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 tells us that as well. So Peter and Paul were thinking along the same line, because they worked with Jesus, and I know that they probably, and they heard Jesus because they wrote it down, what Jesus has said as well, so that we would understand there is hope, there is grace, there is mercy, there is that promise. So Christ paid the judgment of sin, and it's God's holy law, so that God by grace can forgive you and me, free and train those who believe in him as Lord and Savior. All right, the last thing, the certainty of their instruction. So there's always certainty. The Bible is the only absolute that we have. You know, there's a lot of writings in this world. There's a lot of documents and so forth. And they mean a lot of good things in this world. But there's nothing more absolute and true and faithful as the Word of God. So, as we look in verse 15, the last verse here, in verse 15, Titus is told to teach the Scriptures in order to encourage and correct others. That's responsibility of leaders. And that was responsibility of Paul, and that was responsibility of Peter and all the disciples and prophets to teach and train in correction of our errors. So in verse 15 it says, "These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority." Where does that authority come from? It comes from God. It came from Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I give all authority to you to be my witnesses upon this earth." God gave Jesus all authority to say what he said when he was on this earth. And guess what? It got him in trouble. Truth got him in trouble. It gets us in trouble sometimes, but there's nothing like telling the truth. Tell what you know. Jesus told what is true, and Jesus' name is the truth. It's the life. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 14, verse 6. Now, Paul, he thought again that, and turns his mind to Titus of his duty in relation to the doctrine laid out here. And I want to go back to verse 1 through 14. This is the doctrine that is being pointed at Titus for him to teach, for him to train, to him to reprove, to correct those that were listening to him. Now, in this situation, Paul is talking to a lot of the Cretans, who were actually on at the day of Pentecost. They came to the Passover at Pentecost, and the Romans had given them allegiance to of special, because they were Jewish, because they came to the Pentecost. And they're an important part of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because they're the ones that brought the good news, the gospel, to the island there in Crete or Cretan, and so that others may understand Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. So he gave them the grace to share their faith. Now, In conclusion here, Christ's gift of himself to us should cause us to almost glue ourselves, just glue ourselves wholly to him. I mean, you know, stick tight to the word, stick tight to the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding and practice the grace that he has given each one of us. So, we know that the grace of God appeared bringing salvation to each who have received it. You have received it, you know, that's God's grace. You took it seriously and you accepted Christ. So our salvation began by grace and is to continue by grace. You think about that, how precious that is to the believer. The grace that initially saved us will also sanctify us and bring us about totally new manner of life. Each day your life should be refreshed. Each day our lives should be renewed because we're living by the grace of God. And this grace would be brought to confirmation of fulfillment when Christ appears. We will see it. We'll see it just like the disciples as they saw Jesus ascend into heaven. They realized, yes, now we understand what Jesus was talking about. We understand why he trained us and he taught us and he pleaded with us to listen and pray with him so we would fully understand that when he come back again, that we would understand his grace. And it's always sufficient. So since this purified life is our goal, then we should know the grace of God that appeared, the salvation to each one of us. And also that we long for Christ's return to bring us that perfection in grace and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it comes to. You know what? This is only a small part of what grace is. I wish I had more time. And sometime I think I'm going to teach maybe on Wednesday how grace is always sufficient and important in life, that we all ought to really understand that's an important word for the Christian. It is. It's an important word because it came from our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here today. That's why we're serving together, worshiping together. Grace covers a magnitude of blessings to each one of us. It really does. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the power and understanding of grace. You provided it all. Lord, today I just pray that each and every one of us will search our lives and say, Lord, you know, I experience your grace every day. I need to pay more attention to what it really means, what the power, and giving me complete understanding of your grace. We don't deserve it, but Lord, you give it freely, and your love is unconditional. So this morning, Lord, may we take a deep look at ourselves within, our heart, because that's how you work, through our heart. That's how we think, and that's how we act and make decisions based upon our convictions. Anyone here today, Lord, doesn't know you personally as Savior and Lord, it's by the grace of God through faith that we can. It's not by works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God given freely to us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here in this service today. As we sing our final song, our invitation, Lord, you take charge. Touch each heart in the areas, Lord, where they need it the most so they can reconcile, and you will reconcile with them what they need to do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.